resume our worship of God on this His Day, turning to His praise in Psalm 63. Psalm 63, it's on page 80. Seven stanzas, we'll sing the whole psalm. O God, You are my God alone. I seek Your face with eagerness. My soul and body thirst for You in this dry, weary wilderness. I've seen You in Your holy place. Your power and glory held my gaze. Far better is Your love than life. And so my lips shall sing Your praise. And may we truly sing His praise together this evening. How thankful we can be for such words as these. Psalm 63, down to the end of the psalm. I'm standing to sing.
Oh God, You are my God alone. I seek Your face with eagerness. My soul and body thirst for You in this dry, weary wilderness. I sing You in Your holy place. Your power and glory have my ears. Far better is Your love and life, and so my lips will sing Your praise.
These words that You are like none else. not to be compared with any other. By virtue of your complete holiness, the completeness of your righteousness, of your love, of your grace, of your majesty. Indeed, it is good that we sing your praises. But we're reminded also that there is a division amongst men. And grant, O Lord, that we would know your work in our hearts to ensure that we are those who swear by your name in a true sense, in a way that does bring honor and glory unto you, that is out of your service. As though we have a care, and though we are sorrowful over many who stray from you and rebel against you, many even known personally to us, some perhaps even in our closer circle, that we yet hold you above all of them, above all men, that your way is true and good. And it is not fitting that anything that defiles should enter into your presence. We would acknowledge that separation. We pray first, Lord, that you would ensure that we are not separated from you, that you would do that good work in our hearts, and as you have begun it, according to your promises, continue. Do not let us go. Do not allow us to be plucked out of your hand. But whether it be ourselves or those known to us, for whom we have a special concern, O Lord, we do pray that you would draw into your kingdom, that you would draw onto the path, that narrow and at times difficult way, but that leads unto life eternal. That we would have a right spirit to all who are on the other road that leads unto the wrath of God, that it will trouble us constantly, trouble us also because it is the destiny of those who will not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who will not open heart and mind and soul to the great and gracious gift, the expense that you went to, giving your own Son, that any man might have a hope of appearance before you. Thank you, Lord, for your word, reminding us of this tonight. While we do seek to rejoice in you and indeed to praise you and to lift up your name and to be glad in your name, yet that it is a sobering thing that we do indeed dwell on in days to come, that our lives will be transformed by right thinking. On this which is so fundamental to the ways of man. Work in us then, we pray this evening. We ask that we will hear your word, be mindful of it in the way that it leads us. That we will know it is your own leading. That we will be receptive. that we might also reflect when days have gone by that this was the good way. It was indeed the way of rejoicing and of good things. Keep us then, we ask, in all that we do this evening, grant blessing upon our time together, even the few who can come this evening. In all things, O Lord, that the glory will be yours, that you would grant forgiveness where we have failed and keep us from failure. Protect us, O Lord, from temptation and destruction, that we might indeed set our minds and hearts upon you and your voice. And this we ask to the glory of Christ, coming only in his name. Amen. Let us turn to the book of Ephesians, Paul writing to the Ephesian church, and chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and this evening we'll just read down to verse 21. Ephesians chapter 5, from the beginning down to verse 21. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. May God grant his blessing, that the praise will indeed be to him as we read and hear his word. Let us enter into response to God's word, taking Psalm 119, Psalm 119, section 14. So that's on page 163. Psalm 119, section 14, that's the verses 105 to 112. Your word's a lamp that shines before my feet. It is a light that guides me on my way. Psalm 119, page 163, standing again to sing to God's praise.
Your word, the lamp that shines before my feet, it is a light that guides me on my way. The oath that I have taken, I confess that all your righteous laws I will obey. Oh Lord, you know that I have suffered much. Preserve my life according to your word. Accept the willing praises of
together in prayer, asking God's blessing upon his word and also an opportunity of intercession. Let us pray together. Indeed, O Lord, we have so little light, so little truth to set our way open before us, any way that is of hope and of true life, of freedom, all those things that only come through your own revelation of yourself, your speaking with us, that word of power unto salvation. The Lord, we pray that as we do come to your word, we will treasure it, that we will make every endeavor to grasp its meaning, to grasp its implications, and also to respond as we should. But so also we are mindful of the need for your word throughout our society, the nation in which we live, and indeed to the ends of the world. We give thanks, Lord, that there are others who would seek to share with us in our endeavor, our seeking to draw near unto you, in all our frailty, in all their frailty, but yet seeking to trust in you, pleading for your Spirit to guide us in the ways of truth. We commend to you every place, every gathering where your word does go forth with that Spirit, that it is not minimized, but rather recognized to be what is truly the way of life, the way of light, the way of wisdom. The Lord grant that we would know this ourselves today, but also to the extending of your kingdom throughout the world. We thank you, Lord, for the reminder that we have in the prayer notes regarding the new church that has been attempted in Arequipa in Peru. We ask, Lord, that you would prosper the work that has been done there. We thank you for the church in Moyobamba sending a man and his wife to initiate and to lead that work. We pray for a prospering of their ministries there as well, the McPhersons and the others involved in the leadership of that congregation. We pray that you would sustain them, and that especially as this new church is being built in the or developed in this major city of the land, we especially ask for your prospering of their endeavors, that they would know that it is indeed the leading of your Spirit that they should be there to influence for good in a place such as that, which has an extended influence throughout the country. And so too we think of our own great city of London and others working in a place like that. We would especially remember London City Congregation and commend them to you, David Strain and Kruger de Kock, as they especially minister and lead that congregation there. But we're also aware, Lord, that there are many who adhere to the name of Christ and do so with great faithfulness in the face of great hardship. So often we read and hear of those who are suffering for their very faith. It would be possible for some to be targeted simply for being different, and perhaps in some ways that is why it is, but it is not understood. And we do find it hard to understand, Lord, when there is a seeking out of truth, and yet men will be so vehemently opposed to it and to the name of Christ. But we ask that your Spirit would encourage and strengthen these our brothers and sisters throughout the world in such hardship. We are mindful too, Lord, that there are hardships of different kinds. There is simply the conflict between different groups of people, even those who do not trust in the Lord Jesus, and yet they are oppressed. We pray on their behalf and ask, O Lord, for a working that your Spirit would in power overcome those who are doing evil, who are choosing ways of conflict, who are choosing to set themselves up so often. Do overcome, we pray. And wherever possible, that your own people will be exercised and active to prevent this going on. Also, we think of hardships when there is natural trouble. We hear just now of a number of volcanoes, we hear of earthquakes, we hear of flooding, and people suffering as a result. We ask the Lord for your sustaining grace for those who are engaged in relief efforts especially, and we know of many Christian organizations and Christian people who are working there. We think of the FEN's friend Frank, who is out in Pakistan with his wife. We ask that you would sustain them in their efforts, and others like them in Indonesia, in the Philippines, and elsewhere, that there will be works of mercy done, works which do indeed come from your grace and your compassion. But when we think of these things, Lord, we returning again to consider your word, we're also mindful that there are many who have lives of prosperity and success and have so little regard for you. Even we fear in institutions known as churches, and we would especially remember, O Lord, the turmoil that's going on in the so-called Anglican communion throughout the world today, and the conflict that is present there over certain issues. And we're especially concerned, O Lord, that there are so many powerful people, individuals, or groups who do seem to have little regard for the plain statements of Scripture. We ask, O God, that you would strengthen those who would uphold your word, who would uphold your right as the sovereign Lord, to show man the way in which he should live, and to show us that it is not a way of hardship in itself, but it is rather the way of beauty and of gladness, or that men might pursue it instead of their own objectives and find new release and life, liberty. How much, O Lord, we need the gospel. We need it ourselves. We need to spread it abroad, and help us in that, especially in our own responsibilities as well. But do hear us as we offer our prayers on behalf of these so many in need of over a wide range of kinds. May your word be powerful in every place. And this we ask, O Lord, that the glory will be yours amongst us and beyond, and all for Christ's sake. Amen. Please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. These verses that we read, Ephesians chapter 5. I know that tomorrow, Monday, is not a long weekend, a public holiday, but I also understand that every one of you here is planning to go for a walk tomorrow. When you go on that walk, do you know where you're going? I want to recommend three walks that are really good, really worth taking. Perhaps you have heard of them. Perhaps, and I hope, that you've tried one or more of them. I have a guidebook here that talks about these three walks. I want you to listen as I dip into it. I want to listen to what it says. One of them, it says, walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. Although I must say, just looking at that description, the beginning of the guidebook entry would suggest that if we are to go the way that Christ has gone, it's going to be a steep climb. But this is called love walk. But what about this one? It starts in the same place. Walk as children of light, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Verse 8 of the same chapter. There's a lot to learn that way, going on that path. But it does sound like there are some good views both along there and at the top. It probably is quite a climb as well. But you might just find certain fruit that will sustain you along the way. For verse 9 tells us, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So that is light walk. No, not a light walk. It does need effort, but it is worth it. It is light walk. And then there's a third one. Same place to start. You go to the same point to start on any of these. That is to walk circumspectly or carefully, not as fools, but as wise. Verse 15. That actually explains why this one is so good. Because it shows that it does actually get you somewhere. Those other walks, you know, those, not these three, those other ones, look at the crowds going up those ways. This one is wise walk. Let's see a bit more about what the book says about these three. Love walk, light walk, wise walk. Love walk, first of all. Well, makes no bones about it, it is a climb straight away from the beginning. It is as Christ that we are to go. But you know something, you start that climb, and in starting that climb, you'll realize that He's just there ahead of you. That's exactly the way that He's gone, this road that you are setting out on. And He's there, getting rid of all the obstacles ahead of you. Oops. Wasn't quite watching where I was going there, but I stepped off the track that He'd marked out for me. Watch that step. Follow His steps. Go where He's gone. In fact, it's probably better that I try and get closer to Him than I might see better where He has actually gone before me. But if I'm close, He might even help me. That's the suggestion in the book. When there are difficult bits. You know, as we're walking along this path, it's a beautiful path. Wonderful things that we can see. But you know, I've just realized that He there ahead of me is what's making it beautiful. He is the most beautiful part of this walk because He's on it. He's gone before me. Why shouldn't He be beautiful? Why shouldn't He be lovely and worth going on this walk? Look what He's done. He's not just given love out and just pouring it out of Himself, but He's loved me. He's loved us. He's given Himself for us. That's how He's on this path. Even God thinks that He's the finest part of this walk. What has He done? He's given Himself for us. An offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. God is delighted with what He's done. God says He's the finest part of love walk. I've actually realized something else. I've been reading the guidebook, I've been looking at this path, I've realized something else. When we started on this path, down there at the bottom, look how far we've come already, following Jesus. But down there at the bottom, I've realized something. I realize it now because I can compare it. Down there, it was an awful smell. It was dirty down there. It's clean up here. Having come up this path, do you remember down there at the bottom, just before we started, that muddy, smelly highway that we were traveling on? Remember all the dirt that was lying about? In fact, I used to drop a bucket of liquor myself. But if you saw something like that up here, you'd just want to get rid of it. You'd want to pick it up as quick as you could, get rid of it. It doesn't fit here. It doesn't belong. It doesn't belong on love walk. It's not fitting, says in verse 4. Some things just don't belong here. Put it in a bin. You know the kinds of things. I don't really don't want to mention them. That's what the book says. We don't want to mention it, but that's what you're leaving behind. That's what was down there. Don't bring it with you. Fornication, all uncleanness, covetousness. Don't even mention it in verse 3 there. Not filthiness or foolish talking or coarse jesting. And idolatry in verse 5. Don't even talk about these things. That's what you can leave behind if you get onto this walk of love. It really does seem only right to be thankful instead. Leave those things behind. What suits this path is to be thankful and to say, Lord, how good you've been in giving us this way. But that should actually remind us that there's more to this than just this one walk. It's not just love walk. There is another walk mentioned in this book. That's the light walk. See, the book does remind us that some people will try to make us believe that that horrible highway is the best road. That horrible highway with all its dirt. Verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words. There's really no foundation for thinking that that was the best way. You see, where that road is leading is to the rock of God. Where was it going? Nowhere for good. Not as pleasant as this. Why think of it anymore? But let's look at light walk instead. And there's one thing that you should notice when you're here on this walk. You know, on that muddy highway, that smelly, awful place, to be able to see where you were going, you needed street lights, you needed something along there. But even they didn't really work very well. But up here, the air is clear, sun is bright, there's light on the path. In fact, isn't the light coming from Jesus too? Not just the love, but the light. Actually, you know what the book says? It says when you start out on light walk, yes, Jesus is light, but you become light in the Lord as well. So take this walk. It becomes the light, of the walk of light. It's an amazing thing. Because he is light and he gives it to you. And here's another thing. I should have seen it before. It's there on the page. It's as big as anything, even bigger than most of the rest. Perhaps that's why I missed it. That's often the way, isn't it? This is a path that's for his children, children of the light. We need to make sure that we are able to get onto this path, that we really are his children. But if you're here, if you're on this path, you are here. And because you're here, you need to walk on this path. Don't go back. Do you know what I mean when I say don't remember Lot's wife? She was back, thinking about what was there, thinking about going back to it. Don't. After all, look at this. Look at this. Look what it says. Have you got the book? It says there in verse 10, it says there's a treasure hunt on this path. You can find something there. What can you find? A wonderful treasure. You can find what's acceptable to the Lord. Isn't that so much better than all of those things back there on that filthy highway? You can see them perhaps. You don't want to talk about them. Not even nice to mention them. Reminds us of that in verse 12 again. But here you can find some wonderful things. What is acceptable to the Lord. Aren't you glad he called you to turn into this path? It's funny that, isn't it? We were walking along and we thought we found it, the beginning of this path. But he was the one who really called us, wasn't he? He did just what he says there in verse 14. He said to us, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. It was his voice. We perhaps only just now recognize it for what it was. It was a fact that made me stop and notice that little entrance into light walk that I would have just vanished on by without it. You know, it's even stranger perhaps that it was only when I saw that sign on that little entrance that he called me to take notice of. It was then that I saw the massive great sign across that highway. Could have seen it before. It was so big. I couldn't have missed it, but I did. That's how I'm saying, that's the way. Walk in it. So big. So clear. Anyone can see it, but all of these cars are just disappearing. These people travelling on, missing it. So obvious that God says, come this way. Follow my son. But when we got there, when we came into that entrance, do you remember there was another sign? Another name, with love walk, with light walk, pointing the same way. What does this book say about wise walk? That's the third one that this chapter of the book tells us about. So this one, it says, you have to be careful, circumspect, if you're going to be on this walk at all. It's not just about the way that you go walking, it's about getting onto it, it's about choosing this way. And that's what being wise means, doesn't it? It means being careful. That's what circumspect means. It means being wise. And it's pointing out that the other option is to stay on the highway, that filthy, messy highway that leads to the wrath of God, and demonstrate that you are a fool. Because that is what this book tells us. That's how we have to view the traveller. And that surely has something to do with where the highway is heading. Do you remember on that highway there was another massive sign? And it said across there, Wrath of God, and the arrow was pointing straight ahead. The arrow is pointing to the side to turn off that road to these walks. But the way to the Wrath of God is straight on. Carry on. Don't stop. And we need to remember, when we're talking about wisdom and foolishness, need to remember that the time for that, the end of that road, must be soon. We must redeem the time, because the days are evil, he says in verse 16 of this book. We're just as well to be off it as soon as we can. Find a wise way instead. Use our time better. And so, notice the signs. The signs are saying, come on this way. Hear the call. Use the better path. It's not going to be easy. It is a climb. But to get to the heights, you need a climb. Look at the countryside. Look at all that's around you as you take this path. Look at the view when you get there. And listen. There's a voice. When you get there, and the voice says, that was my will for you. Verse 17. It's then that you will understand what the will of the Lord is. That's my will for you. The book says you'll hear that when you've reached the end. That's three walks that the book tells us about. Are there any more in this guidebook? There's the love walk, there's the light walk, there's the wise walk. Look at what this book says about these three. Love, light, and wise. They're really all the same walk. But they're not just given one name, they're given all three names. Because at different stages of that walk, I think you'll be more aware of one or other aspect. But as you go onwards, it's then that you come to realize they really are the same thing. It's then you realize that you need to appreciate these different aspects all together. That you get a better understanding of the adventure that way. But you know, there are other people who have written about this walk. And they've used other names as well. But it's the same walk. You see, if you had come from a slightly different direction, perhaps, maybe a different muddy highway. Then you would have seen the other names on the sun. One of them, for example, is Spirit Walk. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25 says, walk in the Spirit and find the fruit of the Spirit. It's pointing to the same path. Remember early on how we realized that it was Jesus ahead that was so beautiful? Thinking about the love that he had showed. Then we also realized that it was he who was making it all light and clean. Well, the book explains how that works. You see, we became thankful for him most of all. But we then also started to think better about everything that was happening on our walk. We were doing just what the book says. You should be giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we went on, we enjoyed the walk and we got excited about it. We were talking about it. And it says that one of the ways to, a key way to go on that wise walk, which is all of them, isn't it, really? One of the important ways to go is to sing to each other, to speak to each other and to sing to each other. Maybe we didn't use a tune, but it was like our insides were singing, wasn't it? Thinking of these things, going up that path. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. But you know, there's another thing too. On that muddy highway, I was aggressive with the rest of them, the worst of them. I've never helped other fellow travelers the way that I did today on this path. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Verse 21. Paul was writing this book under the leading of the Spirit of God, and he speaks of three vitally important ways to walk. You're going on that walk tomorrow. At least I trust you will be. But that will be the direction for you. You are going on a walk tomorrow, one way or the other. Every one of you is planning it. Which one is it going to be? How responsive will you be to this guidebook? I've read guidebooks for walks before, and they sounded wonderful. And I haven't gone on them yet. This is one that you need to hear. The walk of love. Walk in love, as Christ also has loved us. Walk as children of light. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Now, we've read the book. Someone has tried to just point out where the things fit in. Let's take a look at ourselves. Is that where our feet are treading? Let's do the walking. May God bless his word to us now this evening. Let us pray together. How can we speak with you, O Lord, in any other way but as our gracious God? You have done great and gracious things for a people who were dead in trespass and sin. Trespassing, walking in other ways. Walking contrary to yourself. We have no deserving. We only have your love, your immense mercy. Where you have chosen to reach out and to touch us that we might be alerted to a new direction. And you have touched us with your voice at whatever volume, perhaps quietly for some, perhaps stridently for others, whatever is needed, that you would urge us to come and walk this way. We do pray, Lord, that as we do set out on a new week, a week where we walk one way or the other, we will bear in mind the parts that you have set forth. We will take them, leaving behind all that is unfitting, all that belongs only to this world, looking unto Jesus, looking to where he has gone, looking to that place that he is preparing for us, that we might join him and wonder at his great and gracious gifts. O Lord, we do pray that each one of us will know your sustaining grace in the days to come, that grace which calls your voice to our minds, reminding us by your Spirit of the things that Christ has taught. We will have understanding of how to apply them in the circumstances that we face each day. We pray as we apart from one another again this evening, that you will continue to watch over and keep us. We pray for our families and loved ones, and especially for those who perhaps as yet are unclear, who have a desire for the good paths that you have opened up in your word. We do pray, Lord, that they might know the persuasion of your Spirit to take that step, to enter upon them. And there would also be rejoicing in heaven. Do hear and keep us then, and guide us in all that we do. Indeed, it will be light, wisdom and love that are the principles that show us the way. And all to the glory of Christ, asking in his name that you might hear us. Amen. Let us turn then to Psalm 84. Psalm 84 on page 339. As we start at verse 7 through to the end of the psalm, five stanzas. Psalm 84 at verse 7, so they from strength unwearied go, still forward unto strength, until in Zion they appear before the Lord at length. Lord God of hosts, my prayer hear. O Jacob's God, give ear. See God our shield, look on the face of thine anointed dear. For in thy courts one day excels a thousand. Rather in my God's house will I keep a door than dwell in tents of sin. So through to the end of the psalm, standing to sing and remain standing for the benediction.
So they
Oh, no.
his blessing. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Saviour, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. So may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.